Oh, it's around, guess 11:30 on November 17th. I'm talking with Monica Tone again. And Monica, you're preparing to deal with a possible sweep coming up tomorrow morning.
Yes, I am. I'm prepared to stay right where I am, and I'm just really hoping that people do come out, because I'm not going to have time to pack up anything as far as like an emergency situation. Like, I'm really not wanting to move. I'm really wanting to stand my ground, because I feel like if I don't do it, then this is just going to keep on happening and continuing with other people, you know. And I see a lot that goes on, you know, in Santa Cruz, and how everything's organized, and we're not even offered bathrooms, we're not offered any services out here. All we're offered is for them to take our stuff and put it in the garbage, like we're nothing. I mean, they might as well throw me in the garbage with them, you know, like, it just makes no sense. And
well, I know in Santa Cruz, this kind of resistance, which didn't really come from the campers themselves, it came from the community. So, you know, I think that was good. In fact, the campers, I think, tended to flee when the police came originally in mid-December. But the second time the police came, there was such a huge number of the community that I think some of the campers maybe stayed. And so the police also, they didn't destroy the tents. They were kind of more cautious about it. And so the tents stayed up. But, you know, I think that has been a strategy in different places where people have, you know, resisted, like in Sausalito, Novato, might have happened in San Rafael. Chico, I think, did it. Of course, they also mixed it with an injunction. And I understand you've been on the line with organizer and attorney Anthony Prince trying to get that together. Any reports on that?
With him a few minutes ago, and he did state that he is filing an injunction today, so I will know a little bit more about what's going on a little bit later, because nothing happens right away. But yes, he's filing, and I'm really, really thankful that this is actually going to be, you know, going on. But we probably won't know anything until probably later on today, what the motion's going to you know, even be heard. But we are filing, and I'm crossing my fingers for everything to go as you know, as God wanting, you know. I mean, we all hope for the best, and I just hope for the best too. But if it wasn't for the homeless union and the people that actually support the homeless union, and attorneys that, you know, that go to the forefront and, you know, actually, you know, stand up for us, you know, it only takes one person to use their voice, but it takes a whole community to come together and make a difference.
Hear,
and make
hear.
A change.
Yeah, I know. However, let's not forget the people. I think one of them was named Monica, who went out and actually got the declarations, the raw material that allowed Anthony Prince to file that injunction.
Yes, I am the one that's been doing a lot out here in my community, and it really is heartfelt, because, you know, my community members who don't speak English are thanking me. You know, a lot of them work. You know, they're immigrants. They're not from the U.S. You know, they don't have papers or whatever. And you know, and when they do see people coming, like as far as police or something like that, they take off because they think that they're going to be. They think that they have no rights, first of all, and then they think that they're going to be deported. You know, and they think that, you know, that they can't stand their ground, when really they can stand their ground, and they don't deserve to be discriminated against. And
now, have you been able to persuade, or let's put it this way, what is the sentiment of those folks who are super vulnerable because they are undocumented, if they are, or worried that they may be treated as undocumented? Have they been, does it look like, and of course, even ordinary, you know, U.S.-born people who are outside and unhoused may be nervous about facing armed police who are telling them, you better get moving, buddy, or we're going to take all your stuff and put you in a COVID jail cell, you know. So, what's the feeling of the community? I guess I know you told me earlier you haven't had your community meeting, but have you got any sense of it in the last few days?
So, you know, just getting excuse me, just getting the community members to participate and come down and, you know, and actually all of us get together and talk is huge because, you know, a lot of them don't really want to do anything because they're scared, you know, and I'm trying to let them know, like, you guys have no reason to be scared. Me, I'm not scared to go to jail. I've been to jail. I know what it's like. So, you know, and I won't be deported. So, you know, but they do have, you know, they do have, you know, they do have, you know, like, they do have, what's it called, that scare tactic in them that, you know, the bullies will, you know, come and they will reinforce and they will, you know, and they will take their stuff and they will do this. But, you know, I just want to, I want to be able to give them some kind of hope and give them some kind of voice, too.
Have you had any meetings previous to this meeting in the last few weeks about this, or will this be your first meeting?
So this is going to be our first meeting, but I do go to every household, like, you know, at least I would say like once a month. You know, I do make my rounds, just go talk to people and, you know, and see how they're doing and, you know, maybe see, like, you know, if they need food, because there's some people that live really, really far away, and sometimes, we, you know, I can get things out to them that they didn't have, or they couldn't have access to.
And we're talking, you know, 200 people here. You said there were...
Yeah, and this is like an 8-mile stretch of the Pajaro River.
And do you have a dirt bike that you rum, rum, rum around on?
No, I just have a regular, I have a cruiser bicycle that I ride all the time. So riding the bicycle is, like, not my problem. I love riding my bike. That's how I get around.
You don't have a speedboat to use to go up and down the river, nothing like that?
You know, when it starts to rain, we might, you know, come across a couple speedboats. But no, we don't know. There's no speedboats,
really?
Anything like that. But, you know, if you travel from one side to the other side, so there's there's trails to get around. So what might be 8 miles on one side of the river might be only 4 miles on the other side of the river. And then so there's ways across that you can get to, like, certain sides. Because, you know, the river is a windy. So you can go to one side of the river and get to one place in 2 minutes and get, be on one side of the river and get to, you know, one place in an hour. So it just depends on which route you take.
How many people have phone contact with you who are outside on the river?
So I probably have about maybe 30 numbers in my phone.
And so you have a kind of a phone chain that you've developed?
It's a little bit of a phone chain, or like when emergency happens, I whistle really loud, and so there's throughout the night you'll hear whistles, like, just in case, like, you know, there's somebody that needs, like, you know, somebody that's an emergency, so we'll hear a whistle and we'll go to like whoever's whistling or whatever. So we have different kind of sounds that we make out here on the river that will indicate, you know, distress, or that will indicate you know something that's in need, or, you know, there's certain communications that we do have out here.
Any connection with the Salinas Homeless Union recently, or the folks in Monterey who were deported from the marina supervisor's parking lot a couple days ago?
No, but I was joining the Zoom meeting today, and one of the ladies stated that she was jumped by she was tackled down to the ground, and this is a woman this is a disabled woman who's in a wheelchair. So
yeah, that was, I think, Sophie or Shishi, or sometimes calls her.
Her name was Sophie, I believe Sophie.
Yeah.
Sophie.
And so, how did she, has she recovered? How's she doing? We actually interviewed her a couple days ago.
Well, she looked heartbroken, first of all.
Right.
She was in a blanket today wrapped inside of a blanket because they took all of her clothes. They took everything from her, you know, and it's ridiculous how, okay, we want to solve this homeless problem so bad, these city leaders, they swear they want to solve this homeless problem so bad, but yet they're stealing and they're taking, you know, and it's not benefiting them at all.
Well, we just don't want your kind around town, sweetheart.
No, but what they want is closer to their neighborhoods, you know, because that's what's going to happen. They're going to keep on, you know, trying to kick us out of the places, and we're going to end up right there at their houses, you know?
Maybe we can persuade you. It's just the wrong thing to come to this county. Know what I mean? Maybe you folks will stay somewhere else.
Yeah, you know, to stay somewhere else, and then we end up downtown Watsonville, you know, where there's businesses, and then they're still complaining about people down there, and the businesses but yet we want to shut down the shelters that's housing over 75 of them, you know, like, and it makes no sense. So now we got people sleeping outside the vet hall. We have people sleeping downtown Watsonville, you know, in this little area, and we got these business owners complaining because, you know, it, the way how it looks.
What kind of a turnout did you get for the Zoom call? Is this a union meeting, or was this a what kind of a Zoom meeting was it?
So it was a meeting with the government of Monterey County, the Board of Supervisors.
Oh, this was what, the oral communications period, that sort of thing?
Yeah.
And did you speak at that meeting yourself?
Yeah, I did speak at this. Meeting, and I just, you know, gave, like, my concern, like, you know, I let them know, like, you guys are going to pay a company six figures to come and do, I'm on the phone, you guys are going to pay a company six figures to come and demolish, you know, my community, my homes community, and take away our homes, but yet, these six figures are going to, doing what when you could be putting these six figures to permanently housing people.
Was there any reaction from the Board of Supervisors? I assume that was the Board of Supervisors you spoke to.
Yeah. The only reaction that I got was, okay, Miss Tone, your time is up.
Of course. How many other people spoke on this issue at the oral communications?
Well, of course, Wes White was, you know, Wes was down there, so he's always so supportive, you know, but there was, and I really, you know, there wasn't too many people because the Zoom meeting times, when I went online to check to see, like, when the council, you know, the council meetings are going to be, there was different times. So there was actually one that stated, and I screenshotted it, and I sent it over to Anthony, too. There was one that stated that it started at 4 o'clock. And then there was one that stated it started at 2. Well, yesterday they also had a city council meeting, which was closed. So, you know, I went on to, like, three different sites that they had, and, like, each time it was a different time. So I had screenshotted it to find out, like, which one do I go to. So I was just trying to make sure that I actually went to one of them.
So it was rather confusing, it sounds like. And you're talking about the Board of Supervisors, right?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mentioned it because it can be confusing to listeners because you have both the Board of Supervisors of Monterey County, Board of Supervisors of Santa Cruz County, Watsonville City Council, Salinas City Council, Monterey City Council. All these
clowns
have their different organizations, so, you know.
Right. You know, and, you know, one thing, too, is, you know, like, in Santa Cruz County, they have a lot of cities underneath them. Monterey County has a lot of cities underneath them. So, you know, if they can't provide for each city that they have in there, why don't they make different legislations, like, you know, where, you know, people are able to, like, there be a Mayor Pajaro, or there be a mayor, you know, like, have different kind of, you know, I mean, things just need to be different because...
So you could actually have an impact on a local level, you mean?
Yeah.
What other people other than you and Wes spoke, or were you two the lone voices?
There was other people, I don't really know their names, who spoke, but I was the only one that spoke about I wasn't the only one that spoke about Pajaro. There was another man, he's housed. But he was talking about how he donates stuff to, you know, to different kind of, you know, different homeless places or whatever, homeless people. But yet they keep on taking away the stuff that, you know, he's donating from, you know, to them. And yet he's a hardworking individual, and he wants to know where his tax money is going. He wants to know where, you know, and I do too. Where's the money going that these, you know, I mean, there's supposed to be this funding for, you know, this emergency funding for the COVID-19 epidemic and everything like that. Well, where's the homeless funding going? Because I don't see it, you know. And, you know, if you have a large community that is homeless, there's going to be a lot of money that's going to be coming in. And what are we doing with that money? We're just going to give it to construction company?
It's a good question. And, of course, I'm not aware that there's a good answer that's been given either in Santa Cruz County or here where you are in Monterey County. I guess I also wanted to ask you, of course I'm running out of steam here, one important question is, if people decide to come down to support you tomorrow morning, what time would that be that they've threatened to come?
Well, they said we need to be out of here by 7 o'clock a.m.
And if you were to advise people coming from my area, Santa Cruz, how would you advise them to proceed by car, let's say, or by bus?
Okay, well, you could take the 71-69W to Watsonville and the Pajaro downtown area. There's little signs that, you know, that will tell you how to get over the Pajaro Bridge. But if you're coming off of, I think it was at 1?
It is.
So you come off of 1 and you would get off of Riverside Exit, go straight until you see Burger King, which would be on Main Street, and you would take a right to go over the bridge. And I believe that we'll probably start barricading and putting people in. There's three different places, ways that they can come onto the river. Which one would be down by the Pajaro Park. There's one at Valero's, and there's one on Gonda.
And so people should go drive down Highway 1, take the Riverside Avenue exit. Is that right?
Yes.
And then go right at the Burger King.
Which would be Main Street onto the bridge, and then when you're over the bridge, you're gonna get in your left lane at the light, and you'll see a Valero's right there. And I'm pretty sure there'll be people posted out there at Valero's.
I remember myself because I was there once with you.
Right.
So that's tomorrow. Now, what time will you be assembling, and what time do you expect the police to come? Of course, they can always delay and come 7 hours later after everybody's left, one of their favorite tricks.
Some people had told me that they wanted to camp out here tonight, you know, which I think that's kind of cool. So there's some individuals that would probably be out here tonight camping out just to show support and, you know, make my life a little bit less stressful. But, that's basically what it is. I want to be a part of, but then again, like, how am I supposed to keep my place safe when I have to participate? You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I'm going to participate because this is my home right here.
Yeah, well, I guess it's a difficult strategy, particularly if you're sprawled along 8 miles of the river. It's hard to come together and hard to defend any particular encampment.
But I do want to stress this. If it was illegal for us to camp here, the number one people who would be coming out here to remove us would be Fish and Game. And Fish and Game don't come out here. In fact, Fish and Game came out here a couple weeks ago when this tree company was cutting the trees here. And Fish and Game fined the tree company and told them, they fined them for excessive cutting and and they didn't have
a permit of some kind.
So they needed to have a person that looks at the birds, finds the nest, agriculture,
environmental thing.
Yeah. So they didn't have the proper person down here while they cut, you know, while they were cutting the trees or whatever. So they got fined. And so when I talked to the Fish and Game officer, he said, "Oh, I'm on the phone." He said, "Oh, you're fine. You know, you're fine with being here. Like, he wasn't tripping off of me. But I know I've been arrested by Fish and Game 3 times. And the last time I got arrested, he said, "Well, we won't be coming down here anymore because we can't just be doing what we want to do. They don't want to. They see a tent or a house, they want to strap it to their freaking truck and they want to take it off and haul it off. That's what they used to do."
When was the last time you were arrested by Fish and Game?
In 2017.
Wow. And did you get jailed? Did you get convicted of anything?
I had a warrant. I had a warrant for trespassing, and then it got dropped.
I got you. I guess what you're saying is that the only authorities that really you regard as having legitimate action along the river are the Fish and Game. Is that what I mean?
Yes, and they they're the ones who would be removing us if law was for us to not be here, then they would be the ones. They would be here every day. They would be here.
Well, so we've got instructions. You've given instructions on how to come down around before 7, presumably tomorrow morning. Also, the threat of an injunction, and it sounds like Anthony's serious about this. He's called you at least twice while I've been on the phone with you. How frequently has he spoken to you in the last week or two?
We've spoken and emailed each other frequently. I guess every 5 minutes I'm sending him something that I'm learning, you know, or some kind of document that he's needing, you know. And like I said, I've been busy. He's been busy over the weekend because he has other obligations with his, you know, his mom and stuff. But, you know, he's been taking his time out and he's doing some really hard work with, you know, just trying to get everything filed. And he tried to talk to the board members today and the person that's supposedly in charge of the yes and no, do it, don't do it. They weren't trying to budge or nothing like that. So he said, well, they don't want to budge. They don't want to give us, you know, what we want. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to file. So that's what he's doing right now. And I can't wait to hear back from him. I'm so excited.
Indeed. It sounds good. This is in federal court or state court?
This is going to be with the, I believe he's going to file it in Monterey. I don't know if it's federal court or if he's filing. Oh, he's filing in Monterey.
It could be state court, but I don't know. It's interesting.
It'll probably go to both. Like, you know, like, I'm pretty sure he's going to file right here, but it'll probably go to the federal courts next. I'm pretty sure it's going to go somewhere, but he'll figure it out, you know?
And you have how many plaintiffs? Is this going to be a class action or a series of individuals, or both?
So I know that there's, like, four names that I've given him with the affidavits, but I don't think it's going to be a class action, I think a class action has to do if it's like, I really don't know. I couldn't tell you.
No, that's fine. I don't know is an appropriate answer. If you don't know, you don't know. So that's fine.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, anything you want to add about this before I leave you, hustling around doing what you need to do?
My contact information is 831-707-5562.
Repeat that again. Sorry, 707.
707-831-707-5562. I'm the president of the Homeless Union here in Watsonville and Pajaro. If you need to contact me or would like to know anything or you have any questions, please feel free.
Okay, so should they feel free or should they feel encouraged?
Definitely encouraged. If you feel like you want to come out here and, you know, visit or just see what the river's like, I'm more than happy to show you around. And if you have ideas on what kind of solutions we can come up with, please express them and get involved and be a voice and note that, you know, it only takes one to be a voice and be heard to let another voice be heard, you know? So and treat everybody with kindness, please.
Well, I'll pass that on. As I said, it's likely this will only go out on Thursday after all the dust has settled or the mud has gotten, you know, solid or whatever. But I may also try to get it out sooner because I think it would be helpful. It might be helpful. It's hard to say. But there is some publicity, as mentioned before, in Santa Cruz about this. So, you know, and you say some folks have already said they're going to show up already.
No, they're going to be showing up.
And there will be people staying the night, you say?
Well, a few people said they wanted to come out here and camp out and, you know, and post up too. So I'm hoping that happens, like, you know, I really am.
So far, no tents have gone up yet?
No, not yet because, not yet, but it's still early.
Okay, well, I'll leave you then, but I'll give you the last word.
Have a blessed day and thank you for your services, Mr. Huff.
Oh, you're welcome. You take care of it.
Have a good day.